Thanks for listening. This is a Restoration Foursquare Church podcast. In today's teachings on evangelism, Pastor Will McDowell will be discussing how to be an effective witness through the life we live. Now let's prepare our hearts to receive a word from God today. All right. Evangelism. And an evangelist are two different things. Amen. Evangelism and an evangelist are two different things. And sometimes we as Christians, we can kind of get that mixed up sometimes. Amen. Evangelism is the work that an evangelist do. Amen. And an evangelist is here to equip God's people on how to do God's work. All right. So evangelism is the focus of loving people. This is what the Lord taught me what evangelism is. The focus is loving people. Everywhere you go, there go my kids. Thank you so much, Desiree. And evangelism is the focus of loving people everywhere you go. Yeah. Seeing a need and wanting to fulfill that if you have the ability to. Amen. Wanting people to see Christ in you. Wanting to see his love. Amen. And the only way people know Jesus is unless you show them. Amen. Jesus is up in heaven on the throne. He has left the Holy Spirit here to help and empower you to lead others to Christ. Amen. And so he do that through your words and your deeds. Amen. He do that through your lifestyle. And it's so important that we understand that people are watching us. Amen. It's so important. And you know, when people really get their bifocals on and start watching you, it's during suffering. Yeah. It's when you're being attacked. When Paul and Silas got locked up in the jail and for casting out the devil, amen. I'm just give you a short little, listen to this. When Paul and Silas got locked up in jail, and they was in there praising God because they cast out the devil. Out of a little girl was going around saying, these are the sons of God. These are the sons of God. And they had that started an uproar because they cast the devil out the little girl. And then they got locked up for it. And then the Bible said they begin to sing praises to God. And then the Bible says the prisoners was listening to them. Amen. So these men that just got beat, just got flogged. Amen. And they singing praises to God. And then the doors open. Listen to this. Not just Paul had a chance to get away, but everybody had a chance to get away. Everybody had a chance to get away. And no one left. No one left. Why? Why? I'm telling you, Paul and Silas, Paul and them influenced them prisoners. Their character influenced them prisoners not to leave. And then, guess what? Somebody wanted to get saved, that guard. He was finna kill himself. But because Paul and them responded in the character of love, that prisoner wanted to get saved. In the middle of suffering. This is true evangelism. It's when your life speaks something that, you know, nobody ever, you don't see this in the world. This is how people tell that you are different because you respond different than with others. If somebody cuts you out, you respond with blessings. You're looking to do good and bless and not curse. And people want to know, why are you acting like that? Why? And that's when you can give them Jesus. Because you're going to be responding so differently than anybody else they ever seen before. Amen. And it's because of Jesus that we act like the way we act. Amen. It better be because of Jesus that I bless my enemies and I pray for them and I want to do good for them. It's because of Jesus. Because really, I was an enemy of God at one point in time. And he loved me while I was in my sins. So that's my motive and why I do anything for my enemies or people who don't like me or people who just say all kind of manner of evil against me for his name's sake. Because at one point in time, I was an enemy towards God, and he loves me. He loved me. So who am I to hold this love back when he has freely and lavishly loved me? Amen. Y'all remember how you used to was? I'm sorry. Y'all remember how you was when you was out there? Amen. And the Bible says, while we was yet sinners, he displayed and exhibited his love for you. Amen. All right, let's get into some scriptures. Praise God. Let's go to Romans chapter 1, verse 16. Romans chapter 1, verse 16. It says, for, everybody there? It says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. And so and it says, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As is written, the just shall live by faith. All right. Verse 16 says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. All right, let's stop right there. Whenever we get into evangelism, there's always a fear of shame that's going to attack your mind, all right? What I mean by that is it's like a guilt or being ashamed of the gospel, because we live in a country that's been preaching the gospel for a while. I mean, our country, you know, we hear about Christ a lot. You know, and some people don't know about the gospel, but majority of people grew up in the church in our country. We've been hearing about Jesus and the cross, and we hear about these things all the time. And sometimes that brings us shame. And I mean by that, what I mean by that is we have a lot of bad examples. All right, I hear. And we have a lot of people that proclaim the name of Christ, but we don't never get to see Christ in their lives. And sometimes a lot of people get hurt behind that. A lot of people get hurt. I done been up these streets, and I knock every door. Jesus told me to knock every door on every street, just every one of them, and just go out and say, hey, my name is Jasper. I go to this church. I love you. All right? And people are hurting. People are at home from what done happened at church. People are hurting. I'm telling you, it's a lot of people. I'm talking about across the board, man. I'm telling you, I done met a lot of people. And you run into the same excuses over and over again. And God's love, what caused God's love to come? God's love caused me to go out and just say hey to people and meet them. Really, you know, I don't have no agenda. I want to see them saved. I want to see them delivered. But they really don't believe what you're saying. Amen. They really don't believe what you're saying, because they had that deacon that said they love the Lord. Amen. They had their daddy they grew up with that he said he loved the Lord too, and their mama loved the Lord, and then they end up getting divorced and all that stuff. You got all these reasons why people say, the reason why they don't go to church or they don't follow God no more. Now they don't even believe there is a God sometimes. But it all stems from somebody hurting them. Somebody not displaying Christ to people, really. Proclaiming the name of Christ. But the actions and things don't line up. Amen. I'm talking about you all. It's a lot of people out there that's hurting. And these people can't be won over just by saying, I love you. God bless you. These people needs to see character. These people are on your job. These people are in the grocery store. These people are people you see every day. Amen. And they don't believe that Jesus loves them. They don't believe it because they don't see Jesus loving people. Jesus' people loving people. Jesus said, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you. Then Jesus said, by this all men shall know that you are my disciples, by your love for one another. We ain't talking about loving the world yet. We talking about me loving my brother next to me. We are not enemies. We are on the same team. Amen. We're supposed to be. We're supposed to be. And our job is to love people. Why? Because Jesus freely loved us. This what's going to minister to people more than anything else in the world, more than anything you could ever say. Amen. Even though you will say some things because you're going to be acting different. Amen. And people going to have questions. I remember on my job, man, I used to love going to work and loving people. And I remember on my job, people would just ask questions because they see you act different. Not just not smoking or drinking, don't listen to worldly music, or, you know, you're not doing that type of stuff, and you're not going out, you know, when they little parties they have on the weekend. But just a little things that's different. When somebody say something crazy about you, how do you respond? You know, those type, like, they ask, why do you act like that? Why do you do that? And I have to say Jesus. I have to, because I got a flesh just like everybody else. And I have to go home, get on my knees, and put my flesh under just like everybody else. Amen. I have to. If I don't, you're going to see him. Amen. I need God to be a Christian. I need God to bless my enemies. Ain't no way around it. I need him to show me and teach me and lead and guide me on how to be. Amen. But he said right here, I am not ashamed of the gospel. There is a shame that comes with the gospel because we have a lot of bad examples. Then don't go to history where you get to the Crusades, where they was riding around on horses and they was making folks surrender to Jesus with a sword. Surrender or die. Surrender or die. Making them come to church. Because the church was the government. But they weren't led by Jesus. They weren't led by the love of God. And they wasn't Christians. Because we don't see that example in Christ. Jesus is our example in how we should follow. Amen. And the gospel is good news. But what good news? Amen. This is the key to true evangelism. It's the gospel. It's the good news. But what is the good news that we can tell the world? What is that good news? Amen. And we're going to go through a couple of scriptures, but it is the power of God. And we can't be ashamed of the gospel, but we need to get the power, the truth in what the gospel really meant for the world, how we should give it to them. Amen. How we should love them. And it's the methods. I can't tell you exactly how to win your person over at work. That comes from you depending on the Holy Spirit in your prayer time and you seeking Jesus to teach you how to love them specifically. Because you start praying for people because Jesus loves them just as much as he loves you. And you start gaining a revelation about people in general. God loves people. He loves mankind. And we was all in the same boat, from the executive to the man under the bridge. We was all in the same boat on our way to hell, amen, because of Adam's sin. We was all on our way to hell, amen. And so let's go to some scriptures, and we got a few more minutes, and I want y'all to give me some feedback. And then let's really talk about this subject, evangelism. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 14. Okay. I'm going to need this in the Amplified. Huh, baby? Get my phone. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 14. Not 14. I'm sorry. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 18 through 20. This is so good, man. Watch this revelation the Lord showed me about this scripture. This is so good, you all. All right. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 14. And we're not at 14, I'm sorry. I'm going to go back to 14 next, but we're going to start at verse 18. It says, "For all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and has committed unto us the word of reconciliation." All right, you got it for me. Let me read this in the Amplified Bible, you all. Listen to this. It says, huh? I didn't read 20. I'm sorry. I'm rushing for this empathy. I'm sorry. Now then, we as ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead be reconciled to God. Now listen to this. Now this is the gospel. And a lot of times we grow up and we hear these things that are true, but don't quite understand them. Like we hear that Jesus died for your sins and that Jesus loved you. But people hear that so much, we got to kind of explain what Jesus did, what that love did for them. We got to kind of explain that, what did the love do? Well, he took your sins away. Amen. He took your sins away on the cross. 1 John 5, verse 6. The Bible says, Jesus was manifested to take away our sins, and in him there is no sin. All right? And we have to explain what that love, what he did for you, and to interpret that love. And he loved us to bring us out of our sin, not so we can stay in it. Right. Amen. Listen, everyone. God is not letting sin back into heaven. We're going to have to be washed clean by the blood of Jesus. He have to take all your sins away. Amen. Listen to this. Behold, this is what I tell people. A lot of people don't even understand this. Listen to this. But all things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ, making us acceptable to him, and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, so that by our example we might bring others to him. That is that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting people's sins against them, but canceling them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation, that is restoration to favor with God. So we as ambassadors for Christ, as though God was making his appeal through us, as Christ's representatives, plead with you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. All right. And this is the message. Sometimes when you go out I've been out and I've met a lot of people. People are guilty. They have a real guilty conscience, and they don't know that God has canceled their sins. And so that's what gets people into working to try to stop, and I need to get myself together before I come to Christ. And they have all these preconceived ideas about Christ. But the Bible says that God, right here, it says God canceled their sins. He canceled their trespasses against them, not holding men's of their trespasses, but canceled them. And so the good news is God has taken men's sins away, all right? And not just you get away, but Jesus died on your behalf. Because God is not letting no sin go unpunished. None. He's not letting no sin go unpunished. I mean, he adjusts God. Sin has to reap death. Amen. Either you let Jesus pay for your sins or you got to pay for them. And this is what I put people in a pickle, because now they got to make a decision. They have to make a decision because you got to pay for your sins. God ain't just going to let you get away. That ain't right. That wouldn't be fair for him to just let you get away. That wouldn't be fair, would it? It wouldn't be fair if somebody came in and raped your daughter and then the judge said, I'm just going to let them get away. Oh, I just forgive them. That wouldn't be right. Death. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. Somebody got to pay. Somebody got to do this time for this crime. Somebody going to do it. Amen. Got to. So you put in kind of, and this is explaining the cross. This is explaining what Jesus actually done for them, because you're supposed to feel hopeless. Amen. You're supposed to feel hopeless, like, man, what do I need to do then? How can I get forgiveness? If God just going to let me get away, he's not going to just let everybody just get away. He's canceled their sin. He's made a way for them to come out of their sins. Amen. But all sin must reap death. This is why we need Jesus. Amen. Because he died on your behalf. He died so you can live. Amen. This is why Jesus is so important. So you develop a need that people, because some people think they're good people, you know. They don't do that. They ain't never smoked or drank, you know. And so sometimes people hold their goodness as something. But that's not the gospel. The gospel is about his goodness. And we have to remember, God started this whole thing, you all. This was his idea to come and send his son to die for your sins. This was his idea. He started this whole thing. So the good news I have for people is, yeah, man, your sins, the Bible says God ain't mad at you. God is not holding men's sins of their trespasses, but he canceled them. And then he committed to us the word of reconciliation, that by word or deed we may be aiming to bring others into harmony with God. Amen. So we have a motive in why we do what we do. It's because, first of all, it's good news that my sins has been taken away. You can't be ashamed that your sins has been taken away. You can't be ashamed about what Jesus did for you on the cross, because it's the power that's going to get other people saved. It's the power that got you saved. And we have to remember, it's not by convincing words. Amen. It's not by trying to articulate and really convince people. It is the gospel, and the Spirit of God hooks up with the gospel and convicts people of their heart to where they want to get saved. Amen. They want to get saved because the Spirit of God hooks up with his word. He hooks up with Jesus. He hooks up with the love and the cross. And that's why I got saved. I got saved. Because of the Spirit of God dealing with my heart. And it came through the form of preaching. It came through the form of relaying through words. Amen. And he loves us. Listen to this. Let me read this. And it says, so, let's go to 2 Corinthians 5. Yeah, ooh, thank you. Verse 14, Amplified. I think Standard went in the back. Verse 14, 2 Corinthians 5, verse 14. Listen to this. This is so good. It says, for the love of Christ constrains us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then all were dead. That means we was all in the same boat. No one greater, no one less. Amen. Jesus loved that homosexual just as much as he loved you. Amen. He loved us all the same. The Bible says God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And I had to start really changing my thinking behind that. Because when I see people, you see people and you judge them. You know, you kind of like, man, you know, especially the homosexuality. Jesus had to really set me free and teach me how to love that homosexual at work. Especially when he started giving me compliments. I really started to struggle really, really bad. And I believe the enemy was doing it on purpose. And, you know, he was doing it on purpose to really, and he do it on purpose. Yeah. I believe God allows it so you can, it pushes you to trust the Lord. Amen. It pushes you in there with God to really depend on God to really show you how to make it out of this. Yeah. Amen. And Jesus showed me that he loved that homosexual just as much as he loved me. Amen. And he's a man that's bound by homosexuality. Amen. Just like I was bound by pornography and lust for women and smoking and drinking and running the streets. I was bound just like that. And I have to look at it like that. He just need freedom. And I have to see that people really don't know no better. They really don't know no better. If they had the revelation that you had, then they'll respond like you respond. And they just don't know. They're ignorant. All right. And so with homosexuals, I love them. You know, I love them, man. And I love people. I just can't make you drink. You know, I can't make you get saved. We can only love people. It's the Holy Spirit's job, and they have to respond to the Holy Spirit. Amen. So our job, we want to see people saved, but a lot of times we need to just be able to sow seeds in the workplace. And we need to sow seeds at church. We need to sow seeds. We really need to show people and be an example in front of people and show even Christians on how to love like Jesus. We have to be the example for people to follow. If we don't be the example for people to follow, what example are we for people? All right? And I had to learn this on my knees. I really had to, when I was going through it with that guy at work, I really had to get home and get on my knees and ask Jesus to teach me how to love him. Because all I wanted to do is punch him in the face. You know, my flesh wanted to punch him in the face every time he gave me a compliment. Because it just, you know, my brain was thinking, and, you know, everybody, they might think I like him and all that stuff. You go through all those emotions. But Jesus said, this is what Jesus told me. I was on my knees. I was praying in tongues for him. And Jesus, and I asked him, Jesus, teach me how to love him. Teach me how to love him. And Jesus said, next time he give you a compliment, say thank you. Wow. I said, I can't do that, Lord. They might think I like him. But what Jesus was teaching me is teach him, respond to him and love him just like you do your brothers at church. What if your brothers at church said I like them pants. I like them waves. What would you say? Thank you. So next day at work, I thought it was the devil at first. At first, because my flesh got shocked, and I said, oh, no, I ain't doing that, Lord. And then I got to work. He come. And I turned around, looked at him in his eyes, and I said, thank you, man. Appreciate you. Just like that. And I said, Lord Jesus, I did it with the word. He came up to me 2 weeks later and said, you don't like it when I do that, do you? And I ain't have to cuss him out, even though I felt, you know, that flesh. And I ain't have to tell on him. I ain't have to go do nothing. Jesus' love, he taught me how to overcome that. And when he came up to me 2 weeks later, he said, man, you don't like it when I do that. I said, nope, sure don't. And I walked off rejoicing because you start seeing. And I was able to, before he left and got fired, I was able to rebuke him and say, man, you know that stuff ain't right. Jesus' love can bring you out. It ain't no excuse. The only excuse is you got one to keep you in it. And he was set, he was there meek. Before that, you big hypocrite. You probably sleeping with everybody in the church, you know, just trying to get at you, you know. And I needed Jesus to teach me how to overcome that. Where he can receive God's love. Where he didn't believe I was a Christian. You see, he was trying to poke me. And Jesus had to teach me how to overcome that. To where you really can really start loving people and correcting what's wrong. And they won't, you know. I just said, Lord Jesus, you have to. That was him. That was him. Amen. It says, all died. Listen to this. 14, and then we'll close out. For the love of Christ controls and compels us. Because we could have concluded this, that one died for all, therefore all died. And he died for all so that all those who live would no longer live for themselves, but for him who died and raised for their sake. So from now on, we regard no one from a human point of view. This is so important that we don't analyze people outwardly and make predictions and judgments outwardly. It says, from now on, we regard no one from a human point of view according to the worldly standards and values. Though we have known Christ from a human point of view, now we no longer know him in this way. See, they tried to know Jesus after the flesh. Because Jesus would come and he would do miracles, but then they would try to analyze and say, well, he just from Nazareth, don't they, he, anything good come out of Nazareth? Don't the Messiah supposed to come out of Bethlehem? And they was making assumptions, and it was trying to add Jesus up from a human point of view. But we don't know him like that no more. That means we're not supposed to be knowing Jesus after Mary's boy from a human point of view, or what color Jesus is, what race Jesus was. Amen. Jesus said, I'm from above, you from beneath. I am not of this world. You are of this world. And you're like, hold on, Jesus, why are you talking like that? Your mama's sitting right over there talking about you're not of this world. Your mama right there, Mary and Joseph, we know your whole family. We grew up, our kids played together. Jesus talking about, I'm not from this world. Amen. And so now we don't analyze Jesus from a human point of view, do we? We know he the Christ. Amen. We know he the Son of God. And so we no longer analyze others from a human, fleshly point of view. Amen. What I do is Jesus have taught me that God love mankind. He love them all. Amen. And what is my job in my circle of influence to bring others into harmony with God? Asking God to teach you how to influence those around you. Amen. What's your purpose? Those who are close to you, your family members, asking Jesus to teach you. You might not be able to preach to them, but you can do something. And this is true evangelism. Amen. This is true evangelism, where you're trusting the Holy Spirit to show you how to lead others into harmony with God. Amen. In your circle of influence.
This has been the Restoration Foursquare Church podcast. Thank you for listening. If you would like more information on our church, please visit our website at www.r4sq.org. Thank you, God bless, and have a great week.